the disciples quieted down, and then as it sank in, they started praising God. Amen. Good morning. We read the gospel, hear the gospel, study the gospel, and we look to the gospel for guidance, hope, encouragement, and to hear the good news. Too often, though, we forget that the gospel cannot happen in our heads alone. The gospel is about relationship, and as Richard Rohr writes, unless there is some place on this earth where it is happening between you and another person, I don't believe you have any criterion to judge whether it's happening at all. He goes on to say, unless you are in a right relationship with at least one other person on this earth, unless there is some place you can give and receive love, I don't think you have any reason to think you are giving or receiving divine love either. But not to worry. I'm pretty certain that there's at least one place in our lives where we are giving and receiving love. That alone is good news and worth celebrating, because if we are truly capable of loving one another and being loved by one person, then love can happen anywhere and between anyone, even our enemies, and eventually to everyone. St. Paul tells us either we express love or we don't. It's all or nothing. The German Catholic philosopher Joseph Piper expresses it this way: the proper habit for truth is human relationship. How we relate to anyone is how we relate to everything else. We read the gospel, hear the gospel, study the gospel, and we look to the gospel for guidance, hope, encouragement, and to hear the good news. In today's gospel, no sooner has Jesus identified his friend Judas as the one who is to betray him, and he has sent him forth to do it quickly, than he says to the rest, now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. Even betrayal does not distract Jesus. Jesus then tells the disciples quite plainly that he's not going to be with them much longer. Most certainly they'll look for him, but they can't go where he's going. I can imagine bewilderment, raised eyebrows, and disappointed faces. But because of this, Jesus gives them a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. For Jesus to remain among them, they must love each other in the same way that Jesus has loved them. This is not just the memory of some emotionally charged sharing as Jesus contemplates his death. This statement is at the very heart of his life's message. To accomplish what he has come to do means that we must love each other, not only for the sake of creating goodwill among ourselves, but for the sake of all who will see our love and thus see him. As Jesus' people, our primary responsibility is to love one another. To fail is to keep him hidden. In our daily sacrificial acts, we resurrect Jesus for the sake of all who long for his love, his presence, his healing, and his hope. Remember that resurrection is not a single event in time. It is an everyday occurrence in which we as Christians are commanded to participate. And from time to time, we would do well to ask ourselves, what does it look like when I love the way Jesus loves? What does it mean to me to know that I help resurrect Jesus? Let me tell you a story. A little boy wanted to meet God. Not knowing where God lived, he packed his backpack with Twinkies and a six-pack of root beer and started out on his journey. When he had gone a few blocks, he met an old woman who was sitting in the park staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened his suitcase. He was about to take a drink from his root beer when he noticed that the old lady looked hungry, so he offered her a Twinkie. She accepted it and smiled at him. Her smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again, so he offered her a root beer. Once again, she smiled at him. The boy was delighted. Together, they spent all afternoon eating, smiling, and looking at pigeons. As it grew dark, the boy realized it was time to go home. But before he had gone more than a few steps, he turned around and ran back to the old woman and gave her a big hug. And she gave him the biggest smile ever. When the boy opened the door to his own house a short time later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. She asked him, "What did you do today to make you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. And her son, stunned by the look of peace on her face, asked, "Mother, what did you do today to make you so happy?" She replied, "I had Twinkies and root beer with God. And you know, he's much younger than I expected." Today's gospel is part of Jesus' farewell speech to his disciples. It takes place on the night before his crucifixion, and he is giving his disciples final instructions for continuing his work. We've all provided instructions for loved ones at various times in our lives. For example, if you went away on a trip, you likely gave instructions to other people for picking up the mail, checking on your house, or feeding your animals. Hopefully, most of us have also prepared wills, which give instructions about how our property should be dealt with after we die. And as a public service announcement from the pulpit, you've provided the church office with instructions regarding your funeral. I'm just saying. Jesus is teaching his disciples about humility, acceptance, and love. This particular passage occurs just after Jesus has washed the disciples' feet and after Judas has left to betray him. Judas' departure began the process by which Jesus was glorified by God. Jesus knew that Judas' actions would result in victory over sin and death, but the disciples didn't realize it, even though Jesus had told them several times that he would die and rise again. Jesus was the source of their comfort and strength, but he knew that they would have to learn to support each other after he returned to heaven. That's why he commanded us to love one another. We love our neighbors when we seek them out. We love our neighbors when we make ourselves available to serve them. We love our neighbors when we shepherd them in their walk with the Lord and teach them in God's word. Jesus is still the source of our comfort and strength. The only difference is that Jesus expects us, commands us, to continue what he started. If Jesus could serve others, so can we. We don't have the option of ignoring this new commandment. Obeying it is a sign of our love for Jesus. It requires us to throw ourselves on God's mercy. It's hard for us to love others as Jesus commanded because it goes against human nature. It goes against human reasoning and logic. It's not logical to love our enemies or those who hate us. It's not logical to love people who are different from us. Or at least, that's what the Jews thought. They did not want to love the Gentiles. In fact, the Jews often referred to the Gentiles by names that were rather uncomplimentary, such as dogs. God showed Peter in the reading from Acts that he loves the Gentiles as much as he loves the Jews. And to refuse to accept the Gentiles would be hindering God and opposing his will. When we find it hard to love our enemies and those who are different from us, all we have to do is remember what Jesus did for us. All we have to do to respond to what Jesus did for us is love our neighbors just like he loves us. Was it always easy for Jesus, the man, to love his neighbors and his enemies? Well, I guess I'm going to have to wait until I see him to find out. But I do know this, that the Son of God became human to become one of us. We read the gospel, we hear the gospel, we study the gospel, and we look to the gospel for guidance, hope, encouragement, and to hear the good news. Until Christ is something happening between us, the gospel will remain largely an abstraction. Until Christ is passed on personally through faithfulness, forgiveness, and love, one must wonder if he's passed on at all. So, my friends, when all else fails and you find yourself really struggling to love your neighbor, just open your backpack and share your Twinkies and root beer, and everything will be all right. It's as simple as that. And as I like to say, they all lived happily ever after. Amen.